greeting, earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
All right, what's up, everybody? Jack Maloney here again with my guy Zachary Bennett. Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Practices, and Basketball Network. WNBA Podcast, Episode 4. We just dropped one yesterday, but we're back at it again. Zach, how's it going?
It's just another back-to-back on the schedule, just like in the league. It's going good. I think we were talking before the show, we might turn 4 of these out before the week's over. We're slaving over hot microphones right now.
Yeah, the schedule makers threw us a curveball and we're running with it. Mixing metaphors there, that's good. All right, so quick plugs. You can follow us on Twitter, at Friendly Bounce. You can follow me, at Jack Have It All. And you can follow Zach, at Zachary BD. That's ZACHARYBD. There's the plugs.
That was your first corporate plug on the podcast. At least with some oom. I always, knowing you, because we've sort of known each other for a while, going back to Saving the Skyhook days, I never realized the end of your Twitter handle actually said "had it all." I thought it was some sort of Machiavelli reference or some Tupac shenanigans going on. But
no, that's a Monta Ellis shout out.
Hey, that Pacers team is going to be fun this year, but that's not what we're here to discuss.
Yeah,
this is the WNBA MVP podcast as promised. Jack, why don't you go over the rules and then I'll go over the disclaimer after that. Let's switch it up.
Okay, so we are, like Zach said, MVP podcast. Last few weeks of the season, 2 weeks left. No
much
game.
Anticipated.
Yeah, there's a lot of playoff races still going down. We got seeds to figure out, home court advantage to figure out, but we're winding down. So it's time to start talking about the MVP race. Plenty of candidates, and honestly, you could give it to a bunch of people, and you wouldn't be wrong. But we're gonna talk about that, obviously. So we each picked our top five. We're going to run through all of those in reverse order, talk a little bit about each one as we get there. Not so much argue, maybe, until we get to our picks, but just more of a information and discussion about some of the best players in the league.
Nailed it. An informative conversation about the stars that make up the WNBA. The one disclaimer I wanted to add, and I think we wanted to add, for the longtime listeners, you know, we've been around for a whole 3 shows now. We're getting serious. 4 shows now. You may have heard us on the first podcast. And, you know, Jack and I have been covering the NBA for a few years now, but this is really our first year diving into the WNBA, and that's why we're here, and we've been fairly transparent about our lack of knowledge, although we are a little more attuned to certain nuances of the league and certain teams, and some of that will probably show in the results of this podcast. But don't take our word as law. You know, for all we know, we're getting every single thing wrong, but you know, so there could be some Regency bias. I may be a little biased to the Lynx, not because I'm around them all the time. That certainly has a lot to do with it. But because I haven't really had a chance to explore the rest of the league yet, so you will often hear me defer to Jack when it comes to Eastern Conference topics and things like that. We're just being open about our lack of knowledge. I mean, we know some stuff. We know a good amount of stuff. But, you know, we're doing this for fun. That's why we're here. And if we can learn a thing or two and enjoy some talent and good basketball along the way, that's what we're going to do.
Perfect. All right, let's get into it. Number 5.
Start disagreeing. I got Tamika Catchings. I'm going with it. I'm not going to wait for you to go. Rockies, fourth in the league in rebounding, fifth in the league in defensive rebound percentage. You've talked about the Indiana Fever a lot before. I haven't admittedly been able to see a lot of them. I saw a game where they played Phoenix and played them very strong. It was very competitive. I can't say I know who won confidently, but you know, Tina Charles has been around for a while. I'm not sure. You know, that's another thing. You know, these are stars that have been around a while, but we don't know that. Tina Charles, I'm only recently exposed to, so it's, you know, none of that clout goes into the factoring here, but maybe it should. One of the best players on her team, an all-star, doing work, but overall, when it comes to the elite players in the WNBA, I think pedestrian-like percentages, she's seventh in the league in total rebound percentage, sixth in the league in win share, so, I mean, she hovers anywhere between 3 and 9, depending on the metric, so I have Tina Charles at number 5. Wait. Tamika Catchings, I'm sorry.
Okay. She, you know, you don't want to say, you know, watch the games, nerd, like, but I think it is important with her to, like you said, there are stats that show she's important, but it's so much more with her in the Fever success. Just defensively, she's a mastermind still. Fourth in the league in steals, just got her 1,000th on the career, and she runs the show for them, and it's, you know, that obviously doesn't come up in the box score, not that stats aren't important, obviously, but it's, she does a lot of little things for them, and I don't have her at 5. Spoiler alert, she's up there at 4 for me, but
Well, who do you got at 5? You're calling me out for my pick here.
I got Candace Parker.
At 5?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Shocker right away.
She's only played 14 games, and so she's not going to win it, which is fair, because you can't play half the season and win the MVP award, no matter how good you are. But she's 18 points a game, 10 rebounds, 6.5 assists. The rebounds and assists would lead the league. And she, when she joined the Sparks, they were 3-13, and they're now 12-18. And in the playoff picture in the West, they run their whole show through her. As a point forward, she's been unbelievable. And I really only have her this low because she just hasn't played enough games, and that has to be a big factor when you're talking MVP. Incredibly valuable, but the lack of games is hurting her, so I got Candace Parker at 5.
I feel like on our last 2 podcasts ago, on our second podcast, you were a little more liberal with the fact that Candace Parker hadn't joined the team until halfway through the season. I don't mean to call you out. but I think you were a little more inclined to give her the award a few days ago, despite that, than you were today. I'm just, you know, saying I have her at number 4. I have her at number 4. So we'll continue our streak of shows with decent segues to 3. Ding. We need sound effects.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Where's our producer?
you're the producer.
Yeah, that's me. I'm asleep.
For a lot of the reasons you just said, you know, I hear you subtly calling out my use of stats and telling me to watch the game and that I'm a nerd. you know, a lot of that I will admit, you know, I've seen Candace Parker play a lot, and admittedly a lot more than Tamika Catchings. So it's safe for me to use metrics to back up my points, because the numbers aren't really, you can't say they're wrong. But you are right. They don't tell the whole context. It's funny when you look over, you know, the league leaders on the basketball reference page that I have pulled up, and Candace Parker doesn't qualify for.
Right.
You know, she's not amongst the leaders in total anything. She doesn't qualify among the league leaders on the WNBA's webpage. But then, you know, back to these metrics that I look at and She's first in assist percentage, second in total rebound percentage, second in defensive rebound percentage, and second in player efficiency rating. It's like, holy crap. It makes you wonder what could have been if she played all year.
Oh, yeah.
If she could have stayed healthy. So it is unfortunate that the WNBA won't bestow her with the reward or probably won't even consider it. I think if we do a friendly bounce awards podcast, maybe there's some foreshadowing there. I don't know. you know, maybe she is in the conversation then if we ever decide to do something like that. But that's who I have at number four.
Yeah, and like you were calling me out about changing my mind from the last podcast and not being consistent. And I mean, I'm fine if you get, honestly, if you gave her the award this year, I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I mean, for my rankings, I was trying to look at it through both my lens and also a realistic lens in that, you know.
Yeah, whatever, dude. People are going to think we're going at it so hard. Hopefully they know better. Or hopefully at least I know you're having fun. Who do you got at number four?
I had Tamika Catching. So we just switched four and five.
That's fair. I think, and maybe it's, you know, this could be a spoiler alert. Maybe cover your ears. But that, just from the deduction process I went over, I think that means, I don't think either of us had Tina Charles on this list. Am I wrong?
No, I did not have her, which is
almost criminal.
Yes.
It's almost criminal. I may have to consider dropping Tamika Catchings out there, but and not, you know, because I'm going to stick behind Candace Parker as I've done consistently. What do you have at number three?
Sorry, I was just going to say about Tina Charles. And
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's a testament, I think, to the Liberty's foundation of as like a whole team in that they're 20-8, they got the best record in the league, first place pretty much locked up in the East, and no one on their team would you think of as, you know, in the top two or three, like that immediately come to your mind in terms of MVP award. And, you know, we compared them begrudgingly to the Grizzlies earlier in the year, and I think that's fitting once again in that they got Marc Gasol, Z-Bo, Mike Conley, and they're a great team, but it's definitely a group effort, and no one player really sticks out in that they should be the MVP of the league, but yet there they are as one of the league's best all-around bunches.
You probably have a closer look at them, being more aware of what goes on in the East. But, you know, with talking to Coach Reed before they left and the Lynx left to go play in New York over the weekend, it was, you know, Tina Charles. She made it seem like Tina Charles is the anchor. She's who I think of.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about it on the podcast before. They give up, the Liberty give up fewer points in the paint to their opponents than any other team in the league. The Lynx are second, we learned. It's by
like 3 points.
After the Lynx is, everybody after the Lynx is sort of bunched up. And then going back to this second in defensive win shares for what is the best defensive team in the league. So there's compelling arguments to include her, and if we were WNBA employees, I'm sure she would make the list over Candace Parker. But yeah. I guess we have an unintended honorable mention.
Yeah, I mean, Tina Charles is fourth in scoring and fourth in rebounding, so it's
a beast.
I mean, it really should be. She really should be included, but that's how it goes. Sorry, Liberty. All right, number three. I got Brittany Griner.
Yeah, I do too. We agree.
15 points, 8 rebounds, a little over 4 blocks a game, which is absurd. She had 9 the other night, the season high in the league. She has 11 games with 5 or more blocks, and she's only played 23 this year. So that's about just a little under 50% of the time she blocks 5 or more shots, probably the most dominant low post presence the league has ever seen. And of course, like we said, we haven't watched more than really this season, but I'd find it hard to imagine there's been someone more dominant than her.
I mean, if you have seen any of the matchups between the Mercury and the Lynx, and you've seen her and Sylvia Fowles go at it, I have a hard time deciding between, you know, which obviously I think Griner will, when it's all said and done, might be the more accomplished player. But when the Lynx traded for Sylvia Fowles, they considered her, there was, call it hyperbole or whatnot, you know, they talked about it, acquiring what is one of the WNBA's best centers in the history of the league. So it's, you know, Sylvia Fowles is obviously not even an honorable mention on this list. I think I covered the WNBA Western Conference Finals last year. It was a very last-ditch effort to jump into the league. It was really the only time I got on. I've seen Brittany. I mean, I feel like we've watched Brittany Griner grow as a player,
right?
Just because of her age and coming into the league. I think she can do more offensively, or I
yes.
feel that way. Maybe I'm being hypercritical. And you know, full disclosure, I am from Phoenix and grew up a Suns fan, and I am inclined to root for teams from there. I have no beef with the Mercury, but you know, I think she can do a little more offensively. But you can't deny what she does on the defensive end of the ball, and that's, you know, she's a game changer. You know, if not for the other two people that we're going to talk about on this list, Griner is number one. It just shows you how stacked the talent in the league is becoming.
Right. I mean, Phoenix has the fourth best defense in the league. 95.36 defensive rating. They allow the third fewest points in the paint, and that's almost directly related to Griner. They're 17-13. They got a playoff spot locked up in the West. Second place in the West. And
they're a really weird team.
They are a extremely weird team, and especially without Taurasi this year. I mean, they probably make the playoffs in the West because of how bad it is, but you know, they're a threat to the power structure in the West, and that's in very large part due to Griner. And like you said, her offensive game can use some work. And she is getting more skilled, but at the same time, she pretty much commands a double team just because of her size.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, she's sort of being graded on an unfair curve. That's a great point.
And that definitely helps their offense. I mean, if you have to send two people every time she touches the ball. This is definitely because I just have not watched her enough. But when someone, I mean, she's 6'8", I believe, which is the tallest player in the league. I think Fowles is 6'6". And so I wonder, in that Griner being 6'8", always, I assume, always being the tallest player on the court, in that she is often, I would imagine, just relied more so on her size than skill to dominate. And so if you grow up just being so much taller that it doesn't matter what moves you do, you're just going to score eventually because no one can jump with you, in that it's mm-hmm. sort of your development offensively is maybe a little delayed than if you were a little shorter and had to rely more on the skill. And now that's completely just, I'm just talking out of the side of my mouth. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I understand what you're playing. You're the biggest player on the court. You know, it has its advantages to be, you know, to have the reach to put it in the net. You know, you think back to when you were a kid and you know, maybe beat up on your little brother's friends and that. I certainly did. But you know, she still, at this level of talent, needs to, with the competition, she needs to do a lot of things to score, and it's not certainly easy for her. But
yeah.
You know, when you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, a lot of this is subjective. How do you define value? You take Griner off the Phoenix Mercury, as well as Diana Taurasi, and they're a pretty terrible team, I think. I'm looking at their teams, you know, net plus minus numbers, because I've obviously wanted to develop a reputation as a stats guy on this podcast. and nobody on Phoenix has a net plus minus of greater than 5.
They're a bizarre group.
Truly amazing, because even teams with losing records, like Seattle, even they have players above 5. So it's really weird. I would like to look into that a little more. But do you have anything else to say about Griner before we move on to our big epic final battle?
I guess just while we're sort of deconstructing her offensive game, she is third in the league in field goal percentage. So,
well, that's fair. I mean, at the same time, you can argue that she can shoot it over everybody when she gets it near the basket.
That's true.
I hope so. Well, I think we demolished Brittany Griner right there. I just sort of feel bad, but we did give her a third place on this.
Yeah, I feel like we spent the whole time like low-key criticizing her, like, while also naming her as the third most valuable player in the league.
Griner, we don't need to ignore it. She has off the court trouble, and she's made news for the wrong reasons. But I don't hold any. I'm able to hold none of that against her because I know I'm not perfect either. So, I don't hold any of that against her. Where I would is if you were to say like, she missed games and she's still leading the league in points. It's like, well, she missed games because she was suspended because she did something that she should not have did.
Right. So that wasn't it.
It's hard for me to argue in favor of that, but no, that was a very open conversation. It was a little weird how we tore her game to shreds there because she would wreck us both.
Yes, without a doubt.
I don't know how you want to go about these last two, dude, because I know we didn't pick. I know we didn't pick the same player to win the MVP. You have a quarter? You want to flip it? How do you want to do this?
I got Maya Moore at 2.
Okay. Why would you give? Let's see. Do you want to go first or second?
So I assume that you have Elena at 2.
I have Elena at 2, but yeah. I'm determining whether I want to ask you why you gave it to one more than the other, or why you didn't give it to one more than the other. However you want to answer it, I would. Explain your reasoning, unless you want me to go first, and then I can wing it. But we should do this in an orderly fashion so we don't strangle each other through the phone.
Okay. So first, let's just lay out sort of their accolades.
In context.
So Maya Moore, we have Maya Moore and Elena Deladon as our top two. I have Elena as the MVP, Zach as Maya. And so Elena leads the league in scoring at 24 points. Maya is second at 21. Elena is first in the league in rebound, or second in the league in rebounding at 9 a night. Maya Moore pulls down 7, which is 8th in the league. Elena averages 2 blocks a night. Maya obviously isn't blocking people, but she has averages 4 assists, 2 steals a game. Maya won last year's MVP. Elena is probably...
Now you're the stats guy, huh?
Maya won this year's All-Star Game MVP. The Lynx are 20-10, first in the West. The Chicago Sky are 18-12, second in the East. Both have playoff spots locked up. Both players obviously are tremendous. So there we have sort of the lay of the land. And really, of course, like we said, you could give it to either one.
That's true. We could probably give it to Griner. We should probably include her after what we just did.
Yes. So honestly, it's subjective in that it probably comes down to me watching Elena Moore, to be honest.
There's recency bias involved in my answer, too. I can't, heaven forbid Maya Moore is listening to this, and I gotta walk into practice tomorrow and have her tell me about how I did. You know, in a dream world, that could happen one day. Will it happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I mean, I think if you're gonna give it to one, you know, the biggest argument against Maya Moore, the most, you know, I was prepared for to argue. An argument that you were going to make that you haven't made yet that I'll address now. You know, people say Maya Moore's on the best team. Well, that helped. You know, that sort of helped Steph Curry in the other league win it. And even if that is true, I mean, Simone Augustus has not been around since mid-June. Sylvia Fowles pretty much, she was doing some biking at her home in Miami before she joined the Lynx, but she was really not in shape right away. And, Lindsay Whalen hasn't been herself. She's shooting almost. If you compare this point in the season to where to last year at this time, I think Lindsay Whalen she shot at least 60 less free throws this year than she had last year. So she's not getting in the lane, you know, creating assist opportunities with penetration. She's not getting to the free throw line. She's not scoring at the same rate she was last year. So I think it's a very logical argument. Theory, but with the way the Lynx have been this year, they've been in disarray, and Maya's really only been the consistent one. I go back to that Kobe comparison. If not for her putting up the numbers she does, even when they're not the most efficient, the Lynx aren't where they are today. That's the most compelling argument I got, Jack.
Yeah, and I think being on a good team is important, in that you should. There's a lot of credit due when you're a great player on a great team, and that obviously you have help, but I mean, that's important, is to win games. And if your team is winning games, that elevates you in the MVP conversation. And regardless of sport, I think that's pretty much agreed upon across sports and across conversation, is that if you're winning, you're helping your team win. That's a big factor. And, you know, both of these players, if their team's missing them, you know, like I went and saw the Liberty Sky game the other day, and Elena didn't play. And
oh yeah, I felt so bad for you.
This guy just got crushed. But, I mean, likewise, if Maya Moore doesn't play against the Liberty, the Lynx probably get crushed. I mean, it's like at this point with these two, it's just really your personal preference, honestly, and you can't go wrong. Like,
no, I think it's. Go ahead. Sorry.
And it's, I've watched Elena play more than Maya Moore this year, and I just, what I've seen from Elena this season has just been like, it's been incredible. I don't know if it's the size, and that she still plays as a guard, in which it seems more like unbelievable, like more impressive than Maya.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
And just like her big moments this year. She had a big shot against Phoenix earlier in the year. She won a game against Washington. She had a 45-point night, actually a day, because they played at like 11:30 in the morning on a Tuesday earlier in the year. And I just think that she's been the best player in the league. And when she's the best player and you're talking about all playoff teams, I think that's Elena's the MVP.
Yeah, I have a really hard time poking an argument in the case to make Elena Deladon
right.
MVP.
And I can't poke a hole in your argument. Like, I mean, it's either one. It's just, it's really just flip a coin, really.
Yeah, I could poke one hole if you want to get really picky, but, I mean, you would probably groan when I hear it. Are you ready?
Yeah, like what, Maya's efficiency?
No, well, Maya's efficiency is down compared to years past. The only cover your ears, kid, dick move I think I could bring up in this situation, for lack of a better phrase.
Where's our producer beeping that out?
Damn it, producer! Producer Jack is messing up. Not you, Jack. Producer Jack. The one flaw that you could point out is one of these players plays overseas in the off season, and the other doesn't. So if you want to factor in the fatigue and total wear and tear of the body, you can do that. I think it's a really weak point.
Right.
Plays overseas, and Elena Deladon doesn't. I mean, she's fortunate enough to where she doesn't. That's just not a priority to her at this time. So.
Right, and I mean, I'm not gonna hold that against her for.
I know.
She stays to be close to her sister, and that's completely fair. You don't need a reason to stay.
If anything, it's not a knock on Elena. It's more of a holy crap, Maya's doing this on, a low fuel tank. If anything, it works in Maya's favor more than it does against Elena. I think questions like that I think those are fun to ask. Obviously, you can give the award to either one of them. It is cool to see Elena handle the ball as big as she is, because Maya is a different player and that she doesn't handle the ball that much. She does a lot of her work off the ball and coming around screen. And right. You wonder, I almost envy the Elena Deladon's ball handling. It's like, well, why can't Maya Moore have that? Because she'd be pretty awesome with that. I don't know how we decide this one. Maybe we should have a poll or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It really just doesn't matter. I think Elena's going to win it. I think that's who the votes are going to go for. But yeah, on our end, I really don't think we can settle this.
No, it's cool. I think we'll just give everybody an MVP award when the season's over. Everybody, they all deserve one.
This
is 2015. And wasn't there a big debate about participation medals the other day?
Yeah. Everyone on Twitter has an opinion. Like, really? Do you need an opinion on participation trophies? It's like, just sit that one out. We don't need to. I don't know.
I got a participation ribbon from a Flip Saunders basketball camp when I was little, hanging around.
Hell yeah.
I mean, so this controversy, I mean, it wasn't brewing back then. I don't remember. So
yeah,
I wonder why it's all the rage now. We're a little off topic. All right, final rundown. You want to go over your picks again?
Yeah, so
say a nice thing about each one of them.
Yeah,
I'll do the same.
We had the same five, right?
We had the same five, yeah, and we both agreed that Tina Charles is an honorable mention.
Right.
We'll start with Tina Charles. You're an honorable mention. You're second in defensive win shares. You're ninth in player efficiency rating. You're sixth in win shares. Third in field goal percentage.
Fourth in scoring.
First in two-point field goals made. You're a great player. You anchor the defense. But you didn't do enough to make the list. We're sorry.
All right, so Candace Parker and Tamika Catchings. I had Parker at 5 and Catchings at 4. You had it the other way around. Parker's obviously been unbelievable in elevating the Sparks. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6.5 assists a game since she's come back, running the show for them, but just hasn't played enough games. Catchings.
We'll see if you flip your stance on that in a couple of days.
Catchings, defensive mastermind, really the team leader in Indiana. Fever have had a very successful season, about to lock up a playoff spot. She leads the team in scoring and rebounding. fourth in the league in steals, does every little thing right, and a team leader for them. So third, we both had Griner.
I got a bad player comparison popped into my head. I feel like I should share it.
Sure.
Tamika Catchings is a offensively potent version of Tony Allen in the WNBA.
Yeah, like way more offensive. Like,
yeah. Offensively, how much? I can't be much nicer. Offensively potent is a nice thing to say about a player. She's
true.
But she, you know, watching her, she's all over the court. She's everywhere defensively. She's good offensively. Just like if Tony Allen was a good offensive player, I think you have Tamika Catchings.
Very fair.
Three, we settled on Griner. We said enough negative things about her.
Yeah,
but I think only because deep down we know how great of a player she is, and because I think we mentioned too that we've known her for so long. I know the four-letter network that everybody watches TV on and gets most of their sports news from. Hyped her up at college and things like that, and she's been in the spotlight for the wrong reasons. But so it's part of that. We've heard her name all the time, so maybe that's the reason we're a little more critical. But I think we are more inclined to put her among Maya Moore and Della Don than we are with Charles and Candace Parker, are we not?
Yes. And, I mean, she's extremely dominant defensively. Like, she averaged over four blocks a game, which is absurd.
Yeah, she had nine blocks on Sunday night.
Sunday,
against the Lynx. Against Sylvia Fowles, who models her game after Shaq. six, one of the best offensive centers in history. Griner ate her up for dinner sometimes. I know Fowles shot 4 of 12, but yeah.
All right, so top two, we had Maya Moore and Elena Deladon. I had EDD winning it, Maya in second, Zach had it the other way around.
Neither of us are wrong.
No, top two in scoring. Both do everything for their team. Both have big moments. Maya won the MVP last year. Elena's probably the favorite.
I would say Elena is definitely the face of the WNBA at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't mean Maya isn't recognizable, but the way that companies brand athletes nowadays, you can tell that this is, you know, part of what we mentioned with her not playing in Europe. You know, the WNBA, of course, will embrace that, too. So she's the face of the WNBA. She deserves to win the MVP. But they both.
Yep, so that's how we have it. You can obviously let us know what your thoughts are. Hit us up on Twitter at FriendlyBounce, at JackHaveItAll, at ZacharyBD. Let us know what your thoughts are if we're crazy. But I imagine most people have similar thoughts to us.
Yeah, I do too. I would like, if anybody is listening and feel compelled, I would like to hear somebody really go all out on the case for Candace Parker as an MVP winner. I think that would be a pretty fascinating argument if somebody were to just go all out on it. Because we've only scratched the surface, but it'd be fun. Today was fun. I think we're going to do another podcast in a couple of days, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're scheduled for Thursday night, after Thursday night's games.
Thursday.
Big Liberty Sky matchup on Thursday night.
Sweet.
You got anything else? Otherwise, we'll call it a show.
No, this is a good program where everybody's a winner.
Everyone's the MVP, even us.
Even you, producer Jack.
All right, there it is, episode 4. Friendly Bounce's WNBA podcast in the books. I'm Jack Maloney. That's Zachary Bennett. Here's our guy, DJ Los Latino, playing us out. Peace. I claim this-
in the name of the Earth. Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.